This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. So this is what I'm going to speak to you about tonight. It's meditation. That word meditate in the Greek is the word Hagar, like the name Hagar in the Bible, H-A-G-A-R. The Greek word Hagar means to roar. Oh, you missed it already. It means to roar. The same roar is used for a lion. Meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This is a specific charge from Moses to Joshua. The whole book of Joshua is a charge from Moses. And God speaking to Joshua, already what he has spoken to Moses. So this is Moses saying to Joshua, Joshua, I want to give you a key to success. We know in this church how to give. Amen? Amen? If you didn't say amen, we will do deliverance afterwards. The demon of poverty can come out. And Moses is speaking to Joshua. He's giving him a key here. He's saying, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What do you have to do? So we already know, we've heard many times that we know the scripture. You know, we know the scripture that says this book of law, the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth. We have that. But there's something that sometimes we miss. There's an intermingling. There's a coalition, if I can say, between the heart and the mouth. Whatever comes out your mouth must first be in your heart. Otherwise, there's no power in it. You can stand here and you can rattle off scriptures like there's no tomorrow. And we've heard people do that. And we're not talking about Martin, because Martin has the word in his heart. I'm just saying it because I can't rattle off scriptures like that. I'm more like Jesus. Jesus never said in the book of, he said, it is written. Amen. So that's my justification as to why I cannot find every scripture, but I know what the Bible says. Amen. So the one realm is, have we stopped? Oh. So the one realm is confession, but there's another realm that we need to step into. It's called meditation. And it's not what you think it is. So let's just stay with me. We'll get into it. And so Moses says to Joshua that you need to meditate on this word day and night. Day and night is not only, you know, we've said that you have to do it when you wake up. Yes. You must do it when you go to sleep. Yes. Of course we do that. This thing becomes a thing where your will, as Gerard was saying on Friday night, where your will and God's will starts to become intermingled. It's like you are so dead to yourself that all you can think about is the will of God. What is the next step for my life? What is the next step for the people around me, my family? Do I take this turn? Do I turn left? Do I turn right? There becomes an intermingling. Amen? And so day and night does not only mean in the physical. Night obviously talks about dark times. Do we know that? So Moses says to Joshua, he says, in the good times and in the bad times, meditate on his word. His word needs to be so in us that just like Jesus, I can't remember who it was, just like the word says, taking every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. So that means literally I have a thought and then I have a little prison in my head. And I put the words in that prison and I lock the door. And only when those words that want to come out my mouth submit to the obedience of Christ, do I allow them to exit? That means, do I have sickness thoughts in my head? Oh, I'm feeling, you're still in that little cage, buddy. you are not allowed to leave. Unto the obedience of Christ. That means everything that is locked up in Christ, your words must submit to that. Is there sickness in Christ? Is there poverty in Christ? Then why do we speak those words? Our words are not submitting unto the obedience of Christ. We have not made them captive unto the obedience of Christ. Does that make sense? And so this only happens if we have meditation happening within us, within our spirit. We can only do that according to the amount of word that we have in us. Do you understand that? And so there's this thing that plays out in this prison in your head. And it's a battle between fact and truth. Fact may say that your bank balance is on zero. But what does the truth of God say? The truth says, just like he spoke about Israel, he said that the man became prosperous. And the man prospered. And he became very prosperous. And in the same sentence, in the same scripture, it talks about him being prosperous three times. And yet I'm poor, can't pay my bills. The reason that you cannot pay your bills is because you have said so. What if we actually take God's word and believe it and actually place it over our lives and say that I'm not going to stand for the thoughts that the enemy has placed in my head. I'm not going to stand for insecurity. I'm not going to stand for the thoughts that say I am not anointed. The Bible says that you have an anointing from the Holy One. Does that mean that every single person seated here is anointed? Yes, it does. Why do we settle for anything less than God's word over our lives? Why do we settle for poverty? Why do we settle for sickness? Why do we settle for insecurity? Every single thing that you need in this life has been given to you. It is locked up in His Word. The problem is, we do not haggle. We do not roar. And you have fact versus truth. It's like there's a pecking order. Fact must submit to truth. And we've seen it many times. Fact is, my stepmother-in-law, riddled with cancer, literally the spirit of death upon her. The fact is she was going to die. But the truth of God says that He heals all disease, and cancer must submit to the truth of God's word. Amen. There's a pecking order, and sometimes fact speaks louder. If I can say it like this, sometimes fact meditates louder. Because meditation, you see, Moses says specifically that you should meditate on the book of law. Why? Because you're meditating every single day. Either you're meditating on his book of law or you're meditating on the enemy's thoughts. Whatever you give food to is going to reproduce itself. And so that's why Moses says specifically the book of law. What does God say in his word? It is our duty to meditate on that. That means that every single circumstance that we face will then submit to that. Amen? Okay. Am I speaking to somebody here? So the thing is, fact might speak louder. Fact might meditate louder. But when we begin to haggle, when we begin to roar God's word on the inside of us, when we begin to meditate, suddenly you'll hear the truth of God's word, roar and speak louder than your circumstances. Amen. So Hagar means to roar. This is the same roar that is used for a lion. Okay? I said that earlier. It's the exact same roar. Now, if you study the activities of a lion just doesn't walk around roaring. Like, for real. Just it's not like, just for fun. Every roar that you see from a lion, it comes as a result of meditation. That lion has pondered. When it sees threats, what does it do? It roars. Are you hearing me spiritually tonight? When it perceives a threat, it roars. And you'll find that a lion roars most in the sunrise and in the sunset, day and night. And if we have to have a lion walk in here, there's another scripture I'll get into just now. One lion, actually, let's get to it. Wait. You're going to like this. Go to Isaiah chapter number 31, verse number 4. I think it's that one. I hope it's that one. Oh. For thus says the Lord, for thus the Lord has spoken to me, as a lion roars, and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. I don't know if you're getting this. If a lion comes into here, there's a multitude of shepherds here. You think that lion is scared of one of you? No. There'll be at least seven people that will die. I'm not talking about getting eaten. I'm just talking about when that lion roars, you're just dead on the spot. When the lion roars, as a young lion over his prey, let me speak spiritually to you. As an ECC member, over his blessing, over his promotion, over his debt cancellation, over his healing, when a multitude comes against him, when people come and say, this thing, what is this? This is not God. You think that the young lion worries. It says he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. Why? Because he meditates. Amen? Okay, go back to the other one, Joshua 1 verse 8. And if you study lions, you will see that they do not... Oh, gosh, I'm just going to wait a minute. That they do not just roar for anything. And also, if you compare a lion... Oh, this is good. If you compare a lion to an elephant, a lion sleeps 20 hours a day and works for 4 hours. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. An elephant, as big as what it is, works for 24 hours a day. An elephant eats grass. A lion eats meat. Come on. Come on. You're not getting it. When you devour the word, when all you do is meditate on his word day and night, things will become easy. It will just be like, you know, there's this thing in front of you. If it's a business opportunity, how do I handle it? Yes or no? What offer do I make? Do I do this? Do I take a left? Do I take a right? The Bible says, and I'm going to get it to now, that the word of God is sharper than, and Martin used it this morning, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the discerner of the hearts and the thoughts of men, dividing between the joints and the marrow. It's the discerner of the thoughts. What does that mean? That when you begin to haggle, when you begin to meditate on his word, the move of the spirit becomes a flow. Things happen. All of a sudden, you'll know you're in one position. All of a sudden, you'll know you'll be given another opportunity here. All of a sudden, someone will bring a contract before you. Am I speaking to someone tonight? When you meditate on His Word, when His Word becomes intermingled with your thoughts, it says it's the discerner of thoughts. When His Word becomes intermingled with your thoughts, it's like you just know what to do. Does the Bible say pray? Are we there? Okay. Did Moses say to Joshua, read the word? No. Did he say pray the word? He said meditate on the word. And then he said, observe to do according to all that it is written. Only the word that you do is the word that you know. I'm very unimpressed, and Pastor Leon will tell you this, he's very unimpressed with people that can rattle off their Bible back to front. Are you doing the word? If you know the word, if you meditate on the word, you will begin to do the word. Amen? And so a lion sleeps 20 hours and works 4. And everyone said, amen. That when this word is on the inside of you, you will flow and you will move. Things will be easy. You will know what choices to make. Amen. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is two things. It is living and it is powerful. That was a good place to give God a praise. I said, for the word of God is living and powerful. Now, oftentimes what we do is we take the scripture and we say that the word of God is a two-edged sword. There's some truth to that. But it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. That's what I said earlier, is that when you meditate on the word, when you haggar the word, that the word should be in your soul. It should be in your spirit. There should be a time and a place. It's like, as Romans says, that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you meditate on this word, that the kind of thoughts that you once would have are not the kind of thoughts that you have anymore. If there's true meditation of this word, then there will literally be an inability within you to submit to anything that comes against the word of God. Anything that does not smell like the word of God should literally be repelled from you. This word should be within your soul and your spirits. I love this. And of joints and of marrow. Oh, I love this. It's so deep that it goes into your bones. Jeremiah said, your word is like a fire. Shut up in my bones. I cannot contain it. That means, here we go. That when sickness of the bones, sickness of joints, arthritis tries to find a place in your body, it should be looking, and all it sees is the word of God. The word of God piercing even to the joints and marrow. And it is so. I think that's a good time. If you're suffering with any joint pain, stand up where you are. The word of God is going to penetrate your situation right now. Just stand where you are. I'm not even going to call you to the front. Just lift up your hands, those people. Right now, I speak a word of every single person standing in this place. Even as your word says, the word of God is living and powerful, piercing even to the joints and the marrow. I take authority over these sicknesses in the name of Jesus. I decree and I declare that this night, if there be arthritis, if there be pain in any joints, that they will not be able to stay where they are, because these joints, these marrow, these bones are saturated by the word of God. Amen. Give God a shout of praise. And it is just so. Why do we not call him up? Because it's not me, it's the word of God. The word will penetrate. Amen. There is an intermingling when we talk about the soul and the spirit, of your thoughts and his thoughts. This happens to the degree that we meditate on the word. Let me say it like this. Any area in our life that we do not have victory in, means that it's an area that is not submitted to the word of God. Shall I say that again? Or is it too hard? Any area in our life that we are not experiencing victory is an area that is not submitted to the word of God. I'm just seeing where we are. I know this is a simple word tonight, but I feel it's very timely. And it just so happens that I didn't really know Martin's word, and I had something else prepared. But, you know, as I was listening to this message, God would really not allow me to move away from it. He was very specific on this word. And I think it's very important as we're going into the end of the year that we do not allow, you know, oftentimes you will study, if you study, I don't study psychology, but I've read some stuff, that if you study this time of the year, although it is meant to be the most joyous and celebratory time of the year, it is often the most lonely for people. Where people do not have family, where people do not have friends, it is often a time where those demons, you know, the Bible said of the enemy that he left Jesus for a more opportune time. And it just so happens that usually that this season, this time, either we backslide out of our own choice, or it is a time where the enemy rages against us. And I've come to tonight to tell you that not so here at ECC. Amen. Not so here at ECC. And so, where are we? And it divides between the joints and marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Go back to Joshua 1 verse 8 for me. Say Hagar. Say meditate. If we want to prosper, we must meditate on his word. I cannot stress enough that this word has to become so a part of our being. You know, I think, and this I've learned from Pastor Leon, is when I put my head at night to the pillow, all I can think about is what God is going to be doing in the future. All I can think about is what he has done. All I can think about is where he's taken me from, is what he's done with this church, with ECC. Look at this here. Oh, guys. We can become so familiar with the things of God. If you look back, I want to encourage you tonight, as you put your head to your pillow, look back over this year and think and see what God has done for you. Was that thunder? Jeez, I hope so. So what happens with Hagar is you might be sitting, and many of you will experience this. Oh, okay, I said tonight was going to be different. I'm sorry. I've preached before. It's just different tonight. I don't know. How many of you will know this kind of setting is when you might have received the SMS from a debt collector, or Martin said it. He spoke about it in his testimony now with finances. He received the letter of resignation. You receive bad news. But then all of a sudden something happens. It's like there's like a bubbling up of in your spirit. At first there might be like a negative connotation, but you begin to think, wait, I've seen people at ECC on that stage. I've seen them testify of God's good work. And all of a sudden, the things that come out of you is, but wait, God is for me. What does this mean? I've received a letter of resignation. That must mean that God has a better job for me. That must mean that God wants to double my salary. That must mean that God wants to take me into business. And as these thoughts come in your head, who has this happened to? It happens to me all the time. Raging. And when I want to speak, instead of saying, thus saith the Lord, I say, as the wonder of Achete Efrikende, Savrioskata andara barikerama, Sefriosto epriende, Satekeremena barikerama, Havriende osterabondo, Saketeponis the secate, Emredeste. You know that the word is locked up in you when it can only come out via tongues. That's a good sign. That means that Hagar is operating in your life. Say to your neighbor, Hagar. Are you going to begin to Hagar? You know, we spoke about the lion. If the lion comes in here, how many people will die? What if we began to act like that? What if you're surrounded by the enemy? What if every single thing is going wrong? If your boss is against you, your wife wants to leave you, the banks are calling you, they want to take your house. What if we began to act like a lion and just began to roar on the inside of us and just began to meditate on His word? Go to Isaiah again. Go back to the other scripture, Isaiah. It says that the lion, did you forget it already? You need to Hagar. Andre? Okay. Isaiah 31 verse 4. As a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of demons, shepherds, is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. How many of you know that the enemy can make a noise? But that's all he does. Is he just makes a noise. What if you begin to pray? And as you're praying, as you're meditating, as you're speaking the word of God over your circumstances, there you see a demon. There goes one. There goes another. And slowly that noise begins to dim. You will see that this lion, a young lion over his blessing, as a lion roars, as an ECC member meditates on the word of God, only then he will not be afraid of their voice. Amen. Are you ready to Hagar?